Testing 1, 2, 3.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this meeting is now called to order in line of the Borough of Seabright's longstanding policy of open government and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting has been sent to the Asbury Park Press and other local newspapers on November 15, 2016. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Council members Birdsall.
Here.
Keeler.
Present.
Lamia.
Here.
Lexstein.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
Okay, we always open our meeting with remarks from the audience. This is an opportunity for anybody to be heard on any issue. If you're here for the noise issue in particular, please be advised that there will be a separate public hearing on the noise ordinance further down on our agenda. But anybody can be heard on any issue to open up our meeting this evening. If there's anybody who'd like to be heard. Hi, Pam.
Pam Ross, 6 Peninsula. I appreciate all the work that Mark put into this noise ordinance because I know he worked really hard on it. I still don't understand the resistance.
Can I interrupt you, please? Could you hold your comments on the noise ordinance until we get to the public hearing?
So that's okay, so part of the what public time hearing. Is that?
We will announce
later at the end, so you can't talk about it at all.
Well, no.
Yes, there's a public hearing on the ordinance. Okay. I'd like your comments to be part of the public hearing, not separate from the public hearing.
Okay. Okay? All right. I'll still wait.
Great. It's shortly. Anybody heard on any issue? Not the noise. Hi, Vince.
Vince LaPorte, 33 Ocean Terrace, Long Branch. We'll start off and then slide down. March 24th. The appellate division denied Ocean Township's Board of Education an appeal to block the Lock Arbor vote to leave the school district. Lock Arbor's intent is to go on a per pupil basis with West Long Branch as far as cost. This is a positive sign again for Seabright and hopefully the outcome for Lock Arbor will be positive. And Seabright will benefit from it with the Commission of Education. Can I please have the current status of where we stand right now? You can wait till after I speak and then say it. Okay. Resolution 74 on the building. Keslow, $3,849,000. Was performance taken into consideration with Keslow to do a job like this at that cost? Performance was a weight. The performance track record has a weight in determining this bid.
Well, Roger, maybe you could answer that, but I know our architects certainly reviewed their qualifications, reviewed what projects they have done in the past of this size and magnitude, and made a recommendation of award. But Roger,
yeah, that's true. It's all part of the bidding process. They had to submit their qualifications, their prior experience, their current projects that they're involved in. Projects that they've completed, they have state certifications for contracts that far exceed the amount of our contract. Kelso is the name of the company, is a very experienced construction company in projects of this sort.
Oh, thank you. And then finally, and I'll keep it brief, at the last meeting I spoke about the budget on the introduction of it. I just want to caution the governing body. I continue to review this budget, and it's getting tight. It's getting very tight. It's getting tight to the point where I foresee with Seabright, should an event occur in the future where the borough will have to go out for bonding, it's that tight. Where if you go to the Monmouth County Improvement Authority, having gone to their meetings, for quite a few years now, they may not take on Seabright to be part of financing, which means Seabright may very well have to go directly to the market. So the consideration that the governing body is really going to have to keep in mind is the difference in rates between the Monmouth County Improvement Authority and then going to the open market. If you can secure financing for bonding or whatever, and anticipated budgets coming up or anticipated events where you would have to go for bonding. That's all I have to say.
I just want to address that in two ways. One, with regard to the financial health of the borough, don't forget to read the debt schedule and see the notes that are retired this year. So actually our amount of indebtedness is not increasing as a result of these bonds prior to what it was before. I'd like to go through the numbers with you more carefully because my understanding is we are not in a precarious financial situation with regard to future emergency borrowing. I would need to see some evidence to indicate that the Monmouth County Improvement Authority would look disfavorably on us, because that is not how I understand our standing right now. I don't know, Mike, if you have anything to add.
When this reports to Hal, I'll speak.
There's interpretations here and my interpretations. I know when I was present at one of the budget workshops, he stated various things that they can go for emergencies on. My position is it's very tight, but then that's my position. If the mayor can elaborate on Shore Regional, sure. I'd appreciate the update.
So as we reported previously, we do have a date scheduled with the administrative law judge in May, early May. Before that time, we are hoping to have a productive conversation with the negotiating team from Shore so that we can all avoid the cost of litigating. We do have a meeting scheduled with the representatives from Shore this week, which we hope will be a productive conversation for all. As you know, I've maintained throughout an optimism that we could figure out how to fix this, not just for Seabright, but for all the small towns in the regional. I am hopeful that the other parties are bringing open minds to the discussion as well. So we're going to find that out this week when we go to our, hopefully, a settlement conference.
Oh, that's
not with the judge, but amongst ourselves and our lawyers.
In reference to the Improvement Authority and our ability to borrow, it's absolutely no chance in the foreseeable future that the Monmouth County Improvement Authority would not permit the Borough of Seabright to borrow as part of one of the pool programs. The Borough of Seabright is one of the few municipalities who experienced damage as extensively did during the impact from Storm Sandy, who did not experience a bond downgrade. In fact, the Borough of Seabright over the past 20 years has experienced 7 bond upgrades, from virtual bond, junk bond status to a reasonably good debted bond rating now. The Borough of Seabright's fiscal stability is still strong. It's even stronger even since Superstorm Sandy. So our ability to bond is not an issue whatsoever. Our fiscal health, is our budget getting tighter? Every year. Every municipality in New Jersey is having an issue with the budget getting tighter as a result of the 2% levy cap and everything else that restricts our ability to manage our budgets more freely at a local level. So without question, budgets are getting tighter. But that's something that's being seen in every municipality in the state.
What is the actual rating by the houses?
The rating by the houses?
Whatever. Do we have an actual rating?
Yeah, it's actually in the user-friendly budget. It's printed in the user-friendly budget, which is I believe you have an A or an A1 rating. So
you believe right now this borough can go into the future without going for bonding?
Well, hold it. Let me just say something else. Not that I'm going to debate you about bonding here, but we have a budget hearing in 2 weeks where we'll explain everything in detail to the entire public who may be interested based on the advertisement. But the borough, it's not a bad thing if the borough chooses to bond on its own. The borough can bond on its own or it can bond through the Monmouth County Improvement Authority. That's a decision we make as we're evaluating the value of our bonding and the size of our bond issuance. If we have a larger bond issuance, we may not want to go to the Monmouth County Improvement Authority. We may want to do it ourselves. Because when you go to the Monmouth County Improvement Authority, although you get to use their AAA rating, you're paying for basically local financial expertise and county financial expertise, local bond council and county bond council. You're paying extra fees. Those fees generally result in a savings when you're a smaller town with a smaller debt issuance, and you're mixing it in with all these larger towns with larger debts. When the borough of Seabright has their own debt issuance of $2 million or more, it may be fiscally appropriate for us to go ourselves rather than to go part of the improvement authority. That's something we'll evaluate at the time when we're ready to issue.
So your position right now is additional bonding is not that critical to the borough?
No, bonding is always critical. What I'm saying is there's no fiscal crisis here in the borough. There's not a fiscal crisis. There's no issue that we're not going to be able to borrow if we need to borrow. There's no issue that if there was a disaster tomorrow that we wouldn't have the ability to respond to it and find the financing to respond and recover.
All right. For the record, I didn't say fiscal crisis. I said tough.
No, I understand. I understand. But I think what Mike's saying is, in the event of an emergency, should we go need to borrow money because we had some kind of disaster, we still would be able to do so.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Questions? Want to be heard on any issue? Hi, Janet.
Hi. Janet Henschel, 7 East Church Street. Can I ask that somebody in the borough please list the sip and sample event on the website?
Oh, it's not on there.
It's not. Can you do that?
It'll be up there tomorrow.
Thank you. And on behalf of the 54 members in the BSB, I'd like to say thank you for sponsoring the transportation for that event. Really appreciate that. And lastly, since our town is getting all beautified, there's one little area that's neglected, and that would be the curbing at Donovan's Reef. And I'm not saying that to, you know, put a burden on somebody, but maybe we could reach out to DOT and get curbing over there. There's none. It's just powder. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
I think we have the posters hanging out, but we could make a copy.
We need to get a PDF copy of that posted to the website.
Do you have a PDF copy you can send us?
If not, we can make one.
We could scan it in. Never mind.
Just scan the flyer. Right, anybody else? All right, so we'll move on to a regular agenda, starting with our consent agenda.
I'll move the consent agenda.
I just like we could take number 74. And just raise a couple of questions on that separately.
All right, I move the consent agenda with the exception of number 74.
All resolutions but 74.
Second.
Seconded. Roll call. Council members Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
Good. We have left resolution 74, 2017. Good questions, Councilman?
Yes. We had in the memo saying that the court has basically sided with the original award on the seawall, and which is very positive. But before, this is my own feelings, before signing off on the contract for the construction, I'd like to get some discussion with the state as to when the seawall project is going to start, and then specifically the one in the center of town, because there's two questions I have. One is, is it going to be simultaneous, our building and the seawall, or is one going to go before the other? And the other question I wanted to ask Roger about is, if we go with the construction of the building before the seawall, and there's a bad storm comes in, and the project is still in construction, where's the, is there insurance coverage on that? Or when a building hasn't been completed, it's still in the process?
Well, there, from a legal perspective, yes, there's insurance coverage during the course of construction that we maintain, that the contractor maintains. From an engineering perspective, Fran, maybe you can address the issue. My understanding was we always contemplated the two projects would be done, you know, around the same time, but not necessarily simultaneously. Is that?
All provisions were made so that the two projects could happen simultaneously or completely independent of each other. So you have maximum flexibility We can hear more about which is going to come first and what the sequential order may be between the two contractors, because they're naturally two separate contracts. And I'll remind you, there is the temporary steel wall that was installed to basically close the gap for vulnerability purposes. But the pavilion building can get started and get built in its entirety and be finished regardless of when the stone seawall contractor starts his work. It could happen at the same time, or they could be completely separate and independent of each other.
Do you have any sense of how long the seawall, that section, not the whole project, but the section from, how
long? Yes, the duration for the area along the municipal parking lot is expected by contract to run approximately three and a half months worth of construction duration. That's what the DEP's contract calls for. That's what the bidders bid on. And I know that the DEP is getting ready to meet with the contractor, you know, within the next week or two to get a refreshed schedule from him that's going to specify where he's going to start and where he's going to be working during what months.
How's that going to affect our beach access over the summer if it happens to be through the summertime?
It's my understanding that's all being reviewed, and I believe whatever is agreed to ultimately will have to have the borough's endorsement or support, and I believe everything will be done to prevent negative impacts on your summer season and your beach access.
So part of the original bid specs that the DEP put out to bid that they would not work at the municipal beach during the beach season.
Okay.
They now they're woefully behind schedule because they didn't expect a legal challenge to the bid. And I think that DEP has some things to figure out with the contractor. We've repeatedly emphasized the importance of the operation, not just for the municipality, but for the local businesses. And the economic hardship that it would cause if they tried to do construction during the beach season. So they're well aware of our concerns. We haven't heard anything definitive from them yet as to when and where.
Does that answer your question, Jeff?
Yes, I'm just uncomfortable with the prospect of our having put up the construction and then no seawall. And then the storm hits. I understand
the concern, but I think we've known all along that they might happen at different times, which is why we structured, you know, our project the way we did, so that it could stand independently or go at the same time. So I think from an engineering perspective, we're comfortable with moving ahead. You know?
And the building goes on piles, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Once they put the pilings in, I believe that stability is established.
Yeah, I do remember the building is supposed to be built to be stormproof.
So
regardless of whether or not we have a storm seawall there.
And we do have the sheet pile wall, right, that was installed as our temporary protective measure. So we do have that storm surge barrier. God forbid we get one.
Mayor, I might add, Jack, we won't accept that building until it's completed. We're probably 14 months away from a completion date on that building. It won't be ours, and it'll be, you know, the construction, the contractor's going to have, you know, their construction insurance and all of those in place. So
the wall will be long since done by then.
We're hopeful. The plovers will be gone by...
We do have Resolution 74, 2017.
I'll move the resolution.
Needs a second.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. Let's do the roll call vote. Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Keeler?
I'm going to just abstain if I may, because I want to hear something definitive from the state.
Okay, Councilman Lanier?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Let a beach pavilion happen. Now we have our ordinances. The first ordinance is number 5, 2017. This is changes to the nuisance and noise nuisance articles of the Code of the Borough of Seabright. This evening we have scheduled on the proposed changes to the noise ordinance a public hearing to get comments and input from the public before it is adopted.
So I'll need a motion from the council to open the public hearing on the changes to the noise ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
Does anybody wish to be heard on changes to the noise ordinance? Pam. Please state your name and your address for the record, please. Yes.
Could you just come up to the mic?
Come on up. Oh, yeah. Hi. Good evening. My name is Janice Patterson, and we live half of the year at the Nautilus, 2 Rumson Road, unit number 8. My husband and I bought in 2001, and we love it here. It's a great little town, and I just want to say very, very happy, and we love it the way it is. I am very concerned about the noise ordinance, and I was reading it and reading it and reading it, and I said, wow, this, I started it, and I said, this is facts. Article 2, 146-5A about the noise. I said, ah, this is one. I agree with that. Then you move along and have all the definitions. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And then there's a definition of noise. And I said, oh, this is perfect. Any sounds of such level and duration as to be or tend to be injurious to human health or welfare, or which would unreasonably interfere with the enjoyment of life or property. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. And plainly audible, and I'm like, okay, that's really great. And sound source, and okay. And then we're moving along, and the definition now of sound is getting a little more refined. And I noticed that 146-7, definition of noise nuisances. And in A, I see that talking has been removed. And I understand that. If we're all, you know, folks are chatting with one another, I'm fine with that. But crowds talking, 25, 30, 45, 50 people talking, even just amongst themselves, it can create a roar. So I'm wondering, well, you know, just people talking, that's fine. If people are talking and they're talking over other people, they're talking over sounds in a restaurant, they're talking over music, they're talking over TVs that are displayed, which happens in many restaurants, that talking becomes very loud noise. And if windows are open and doors are open, that talking noise can be very obtrusive to one's lifestyle, etc. Also, when you move down to C, shouting, the excessive shouting, and I say, well, what is excessive? Who defines excessive? Shouting, screaming, or loud talking of peddlers, hawkers, vendors, or patrons, or others who disturb the peace and quiet of the neighborhood. Now, okay, talking is crossed out up there. Talking isn't crossed out up here. So I said, well, maybe they didn't really mean that in A. So that, I have a question with that. Also, I wonder about, you know, when one gets into decibels, I don't have a sense of what's the difference between 65 decibels and 50 decibels. I just don't know. I guess someone would have to play that for me. But I know, and my neighbors know, and my family knows, when noise is loud and disturbing, when you can't sleep. Okay, maybe it's very sad that I go to bed at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, but I do, and it's hard to do that. Also, the part that says, and I don't really get this, the part that talks about 50 feet, I don't understand this 50 feet. So Tommy's is next door to us, and you know, and our fence and the fence of Tommy's Tap and Tavern, we share that. So if that is the
I guess, property line, and you say, well, the sound has to be heard 50 feet from that property line. Like, I would think it would have to be heard 50 feet from the source, but it's 50 feet from the property line. Well, within that 50 feet of the property line from Tommy's Tap and Tavern to the Pattison's condo and various condos along, especially along the left side there, which is the south side of our condominium, that 50 feet is my entire unit. It's very small. So 16 feet from the fence to the wall of my bedroom. My entire unit is from the wall of my bedroom to, it's very small, to the outside, is another 26, 27 feet. So I'm within that 50 feet. The noise at night is horrendous. It's loud, and one would expect it. You know, it's loud. It's, people are having a good time, except me. So I'm wondering, well, where does that leave me? Okay, I'm within the 50 feet, and I can't complain. So what happens? You know, I just think it's very unfair that we, you know, something has to be done. Who, if I call someone and they say, oh, sorry, you're not within the 50 feet, you're not beyond the 50 feet, or sorry, we don't think that's excessive. You think it's excessive. I don't know what to do. I just wish there was like a middle ground. I don't want to cause any problems, but I still would like to be able to sleep at night and not have to wait to go to sleep until 2 in the morning. So, thank you for listening.
Two issues. Well, a question that I heard that was not answered, or that I think needs to be addressed, was the rationale behind the dealing with the talking, defining the talking in letters A and moving it to letter C, like Ms. Pattinson asked.
Okay,
we should talk about, you know, the where the measuring standard goes.
Okay, so the town right now has a noise ordinance. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, I have.
Okay,
aware of that.
And talking is currently included with a decibel reading. In A, it's the exact same text that's in the current noise ordinance that's in effect today. And talking's in there. The problem is we have been told repeatedly by the police that the decibel readers that you need to meet that decibel reading will not pick up human voice. That's what we've been told. It doesn't make sense to me, but we've been told that repeatedly, that the only thing that, that the decibel readers can pick up is
amplified.
Thank you. Amplified sound.
Amplified sound.
So what we've done is we've removed the talking aspect from the decibel readings into a paragraph where decibel readings are not going to be applicable. Because right now, the very thing you're complaining about, which is excessive talking, is unenforceable. So right now you have nothing to deal with the complaints that you were complaining about.
Well, and then to address, you can file a complaint that somebody is disturbing your peace.
Well, of course.
At any time.
Regardless of this, you can do that. Yeah. But to your specific point, you asked why it was moved from A to C. Oh. That's the reason why it was moved from A to C, because we wanted to put it into a paragraph where the decibel reader did not apply, because where it is right now, as it exists today, it's meaningless.
Okay, no, I see that, and I appreciate your point. However, on multiple occasions when we have called about, it's very noisy. It just get, you know, things get louder at night. It just, you know, as the night goes on, things get louder. We call, we get someone to come, and they say, wow, it is really awfully loud. How do you sleep? It's 1 in the morning, and that's why I'm calling you, because I was, you know, kind of woken up. And, you know, there's like, well, there's really nothing you can do about it.
Because it's on the decibel reader that they can't pick up.
So now they'll be able to do something?
Now I'll be able to do something.
Now you'll actually technically be able to do something. Now here.
What I'm saying is I would like somebody to come and have me say, this is how loud it has to get. Or, and this is the difference between...
There is no way to do that.
There's no way to do that. there's no way to meter the human voice as far as a noise. So we can't, there's no way to go, according to the police department, our police department, there's no way to take a meter and say this is how loud it is.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is...
She wants to know, how do you determine what's the standard of too loud?
Right, who says, oh, sorry, Mrs. Patterson, it is acceptable, you know, or you're just a big old complainer?
It's subjective.
It is subjective.
It's subjective, but there's no way for it not to be subjective. But there's no way for it to be non-subjective.
Yeah, we can stay plainly audible.
My point is that...
Yes.
If it is subjective...
Yes.
How can there be a noise ordinance?
Well, it's not a noise ordinance, it's a nuisance ordinance.
Okay, but how, who then decides? Who then, they say...
The same way you're going to deal with it now, you call the police. The police are going to make a subjective decision as to whether it is annoying. But there's no other way to do it.
They're going to ask you if you want to sign a complaint, right? And then you will sign a complaint if you want to, because you have as the language of the ordinance reads, you have been annoyed, injured, or endangered from your comfort, repose, health, or welfare.
Right.
Within the limits of the borough.
Right. But they can't even measure in my unit, because I fall within the 50 feet.
Right.
So what the officer will do, he'll come there, he'll go to the 50 feet from the property line, and I almost guarantee that you're still going to be able to hear that noise 50 feet from the property line.
But
I can almost guarantee
it. But not like in my bedroom. Sorry.
So if that noise is there, the officer will then issue a summons. If they can hear, and I don't think it's going to be, whether it's 45, 40 feet, something like that, I don't think the officers are going to be nitpicking over 2 or 3 feet, that type of thing. If it's audible at 50 feet, then they're going to issue a summons.
We have to come up with a microphone and everything.
Okay.
You have to come forward with your name and address, sir. Okay.
Jim Powell is 8 Village Road. I think we're getting confused here. When you're saying measure 50 feet, that's for the meter, correct?
No. Everything.
It's for any noise.
Yes, you have to be 50 feet from where from the property
whether
line.
Whether it's talking or
correct.
Okay, so this lady calls up and says it's really noisy here, and a police officer comes and says, no, it's not noisy. So you're saying that she should file a complaint against the police officer?
No.
Against the source of the noise. If you want to make a complaint that it's injuring your, interfering with your peaceful enjoyment of your property, which you have a right to.
Okay.
Then.
You have a right to do that now.
Right. Anybody could do that now.
Okay. All right. I was confused about the 50 feet. So the 50 feet is for talking or for the meter?
Everything. Everything's measured from 50 feet. Unless you're on the same property as where it's happening. So if you, if you share a wall or an apartment on top or something like that, it obviously 50 feet doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
But that's the only exception.
But maybe the language of the ordinance needs to be more reflective of the nature of the housing, particularly downtown, where my home is 23 feet wide, so it would be...
Well, that's why we did the 50 feet. The ordinance that we adopted, more or less, that we took this from, is the Millstone Ordinance. And Millstone's ordinance, which was upheld in state court for doing away with the decibel readers, was at 100 feet. And that's a court case that says that it's okay. So 50 feet was sort of, when meeting in the middle, we met in the middle with 50 feet. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's basic. Is that the biggest difference between the existing noise ordinance and the new noise ordinance?
It really is.
That's the major
difference. And the decibel reading.
And removing the decibel reading from talking.
So you can now, they can issue a summons for excessive talking on a property at 50 feet. So if the officer comes, he can hear the talking from the next door neighbor's backyard at 50 feet, then he issues a summons.
So in effect, it's become stronger.
I think it has.
Yeah.
Absolutely it has.
Well, I didn't understand it, but I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we solved concern. Thank you.
And just to make something clear to Mrs. Patterson, too, that it doesn't matter that you're 16 feet from the property line. If the officer comes and can hear it 50 feet away, it's a violation. Doesn't matter how close you are. If it can be heard 50 feet, it's too loud.
Yeah, no one's going to say, hey, you live within 50 feet, so we're not coming. That's not going to happen.
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Tom Patterson. My better half just spoke. But my question is, I believe I just heard that if you have an adjoining property wall, then the 50 feet doesn't matter?
Not property wall.
If your neighbor in the Nautilus.
Yes.
If your neighbor in the Nautilus is making noise, yeah, they're not going to make you measure that from 50 feet away because that wouldn't make any sense. You're on the same property.
What if my neighbor is 16 feet away?
That's a different property, though.
That's a different property.
And you don't share a common wall.
Well, we do. We share a property line.
Okay, everybody shares a property line.
What is the rationale for the 50 feet? Or for any distance, as a, you know.
Again, I'll explain again. The ordinance that we adopted, that we're modeling this after, had 100 feet.
So what was the rationale for that? For any distance.
That's what was upheld by the court.
But
so we're going with 50 feet, which is
compromised. What is the thinking behind if you're 20 feet away, and if you have been there for say 60 years before the noise-inducing property came into existence, you were on this particular site of land, and all of a sudden a noise-inducing property venue comes into existence less than 50 feet from you, and the noise 16 feet away is obviously much more than the noise would be 50 feet away, particularly when it's blocked by our unit. The rest of our unit would block that sound, whereas our bedroom wall is, as I say, literally 16 feet away. I can't see the rationale for having this area where even grandfathered properties that pre-existed the noise-inducing unit have to have no recourse. Let's say an officer comes and says, yeah, right in your bedroom, it's awful, but I go 50 feet out in back of your building, which blocks the sound, and it's not so bad.
Well, what happens
then?
Firstly, it's 50 feet from the offending source. It's right. not necessarily
from
behind the building.
Property line. Of
but yeah, but it's not necessarily behind the building. That officer could go on the other side of Tommy's on 50 feet from in the open lot. Now, as you know, sound travels much greater in an open area. On the other side, in the parking lot. He could go into the parking lot.
50 feet from his other side?
From the other side.
From the south side?
Yes, and it's an open air. It's open air there. The officer's not going to put a building between him and the sound source. He's going to walk 50 feet away from that property line, if possible, and take a measurement in the open air.
In other words,
I don't think he's going to go behind your building to take a measurement.
The river or the...
He can't go to the river because the river is.
I wish he would because the sound is.
We also have to be clear here. This ordinance is not about Tommy's. This is an ordinance. I know Tommy thinks it's about Tommy, but it's not about Tommy's. Okay. Every bar owner in town thinks it's about them, and it's not. It's we cannot write an ordinance with one specific property in mind. This is going to enforce for the entire town. So.
Right. But my point is that if you have units that were pre-existing residential units that have been there for 60 years before Tommy's came into existence, probably before Tommy was born, were there and living peacefully, and then...
But that would be true with anybody.
Yeah,
that would be any home
in town.
This house was here living in peace, and then noisy neighbors moved next door.
My house has been there since 1897, so so the point is you asked earlier about the what's the rationale between 100 feet and 50 feet. Now Millstone used 100 feet. Now Millstone's properties are much larger. If you're ever out in Millstone, you're talking anywhere from probably one-third acre to almost 10-acre lots out there. So 100 feet is reasonable when you take into that account.
100 feet in this town is absolutely unreasonable. I mean, 100 feet would be almost the entire length of New Street. So, and I live on New Street. So each one of these houses, as Dina said, her house is only 23 feet wide. My house is only 25 feet wide. If we went 100 feet, that's four houses. So you're telling me that my neighbor four houses away can complain about me sitting in my backyard? You know, I mean, the whole point was, if I'm enjoying the summer with my neighbor, with my friends and family in my backyard, and we're out there after 10 o'clock and whatever happens to be the problem, my neighbor two houses away, three houses away hears me, they can complain. My neighbor right next door can also complain, but that it has to be measured at a distance because our houses are so close to each other. The whole point of this ordinance and the way it was written was to be, to have our town become a little bit more neighborly. Respect your neighbors. If you're going to be outside after 10 p.m., if you're going to be outside after 10 p.m., respect your neighbors. You don't necessarily have to go inside. Just be quiet. If you know, that type of thing. It applies not just to the house, but that's my point. It doesn't apply just to the noise.
That's all we want.
But I think that we have location specific concerns with where you live. Yeah. And so I don't want, like Councilman mentioned, I don't think that we should try to solve location-specific concerns with this particular ordinance. However, we do need to address the location-specific concerns. Right? And so I think we need to, you know, keep working through the process and see what we can do.
Just one last point. The 50 feet is measured from the property line?
From the property line.
Which one? Which?
But it doesn't matter.
It's written the offending source.
Yeah.
So if in your case it's Tommy's, 50 feet from Tommy's property line is where they
from his north property line.
It doesn't matter. Any property line.
Any property line.
East, west, south. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. 50 feet.
Okay. And again, I guess getting back to Millstone, I mean, why is there any distance limit? If you're right next door to someone and they're annoying or they make a nuisance and it's a subjective test, a police officer, you know, can come and determine what is the rationale behind 50 feet, 100 feet, 20 feet,
well,
80 feet.
One reasoning behind that, at least for me, was this is a shore community. It is a vibrant and has always been a very vibrant and boisterous shore community in the summertime.
I don't think so. Having been, it's not Belmar, never was.
I'm not going that far. It's also not Bradley Beach. It's also not Monmouth Beach. How this town has been for at least the past 20, 30 years that I've been coming to this town. You've had the Tradewinds here. You've had Tommy's here. Not Tommy's. Mad Hatter here. You've had Donovan's Reef here. You've had the Cove. You've got Eventide. You've got a lot of places that have had outdoor entertainment. You've got each one of the beach clubs has outdoor entertainment sometimes in the summertime. So I mean, to say that this is a quiet community is a falsehood. It is quieter than Belmar. It is quieter than Seaside, but that's not what we don't want it to become. Belmar or Seaside, by no shake of a fist do we want it to become Seaside or Belmar. But at the same time, we don't want it to become this quiet little. I mean, I personally don't.
So is that the rationale for the 50 feet?
I actually went out because I was curious. I went up to the Clarksburg Inn in Millstone. I wanted to see it for myself so I could understand. And what Kevin described is exactly right. It's a huge, there's nobody's out there.
Yeah.
So 100 feet is a reasonable distance in Millstone. So here, we cut it in half because the properties are so much closer together.
But if no one was in Millstone, and there are people 16 feet away, what's the rationale for the 50?
It's because you're basing it upon the distance of the properties.
Yeah, and if the properties are 16, why? But I mean, if there were properties 10 feet away from Millstone, that statute may not have been written that way.
It may not have been 100 feet.
And the court may not have been...
It wouldn't have been 100 feet.
So it's...
Their property's that close together.
We're in a different...
Which is why we're going to 50 feet.
Well, in North Beach, the properties are wider, right? You have 75, 100-foot frontage lots. And so we have properties of different sizes. And I think that what the council was trying to avoid would be somebody, you know, standing just on the other edge, on the other side of a fence, right? Like, kind of could be, you know, on top of the offending property where the noise is emanating from, and you could be standing right on the property line and call it a nuisance. And so I think what the council's intent was to create some fairness by, you know, creating some distance. You know, I don't know if they're willing to consider 50 feet as maybe not the standard.
Walking up to the fence and saying it's a nuisance. But if someone lives and has lived 16 feet from the fence and is trying to sleep, they're not attempting to exploit the rule. They just don't understand why it has, why a nuisance is tolerable for 50 feet.
Two things I think you have to understand. First is that with respect to a nuisance, what use or what property got there first is not legally relevant. You can't base a question of whether something is a nuisance on who got there first.
Okay.
The second thing is that you can't base it simply on the fact that one property can be heard to the next property. I mean, there are certain uses that are in and of themselves that create noise, and that's perfectly legitimate part of a business. And when you have businesses that operate in business zones, oftentimes you have conflicts because when you have a business zone that joins or is nearby or contiguous to a residential zone, the potential is there for conflict. The question is what constitutes a nuisance, which is an unreasonable level of conflict.
And so long as we would be able to complain about an unreasonable level of noise, even though we are within 50 feet, I would be satisfied, but, and I would ask that the law be made more explicit as to that point.
My one statement that I just want to make is, everybody's concerned about the 50 feet, and I understand that. 50 feet does seem excessive. But I can almost guarantee you that 50 feet is more than enough to ticket in certain situations. I can almost guarantee it. 50 feet is not that far.
If you could get beyond the almost, I'd be right there.
I mean, it's the almost, that's a problem. Again, it is subjective, so, you know, I mean, if you're one of those type of people that sleeps with a fan on, you're not going to hear it, but if you're the type of person that sleeps with all the windows open, then...
We've had the air conditioning on.
But let's have a location-specific discussion about these issues.
I understand.
Because, you know, I think, we need to hear more, and we'll, you know, let's keep trying to work on it.
Okay, I just want to thank you for your time and your patience.
Thank you.
Are you on the first deck or the second deck?
First deck, first floor. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I say something or not?
I think we have more remarks in the audience. If you do want to answer, Charlie.
Well, no, I just, the thing that I mean, I'm listening, you know, and I'm very sympathetic to both sides. Tommy's really is a victim of his success. I mean, we've all been here since the Donovan years, right? Donovan's? Remember Donovan's, when Donovan's was hopping?
I never heard it.
No, exactly.
You know, that's the story.
Because you live over there. But those people over there heard, and that's why they live there. Because they were used to it. They were used to it. They moved next to Donovan's because they wanted to be next to Donovan's.
But that's exactly my point.
Right, but I'm just saying, like...
But Donovan's pulled the music in at 10 o'clock. The band was inside with the doors and the windows closed.
100%, right.
So there's a little, like, I'm beat up on Donovan's.
Because I know what you had...
With all due respect, Mr. Mooney, I just would hesitate characterizing Tommy as a victim in any...
No, of his success. If he wasn't that busy...
Thank you.
No, I mean, like, in other words, if he wasn't that busy.
Follow that, Mr. Tom.
We hear what's going on, and that's why I came. Couple things. The master plan of Seabright calls for the development of a resort community. Right. So, what a resort, guests come, people come. You're trying to encourage people to come to the town and enjoy themselves, right? The 2020 recovery plan also, you know, the borough realized that it suffered a decline in economic vitality due to the storm and recommended an attractive, vibrant business district to draw residents and visitors alike to shop, eat, drink, and spend time enjoying the area. Right? So, this is your master plan. I come into this town, I invest $5 million, saying, okay, this town wants to develop a nice business district, and they want to encourage people to eat, drink, and enjoy themselves. And I said, okay, this is a nice place for me to come and invest my money. I go before the zoning board, they approve my use. The people next door to me didn't object too far at that hearing. So I get approved, I invest all the money, I build a restaurant, I improve the business district. I make a beautiful building, it attracts lots of people. I've encouraged other people, exactly to your 2020 recovery plan. You were hoping for 2020. I think we reached by 2017. I've improved the vibrancy of the business district. I draw residents and visitors alike. They're shopping, they're eating, they're drinking. I haven't put anybody out of business. The meters are filled till 10 o'clock at night. Your beach people leave at 5 or 6. My people stay there filling hundreds of meters or quarters. I'm an asset to this town. As you can see, what I have next door to me, they are out of the zone. They are a residential community and a business district. The zoning approval of that to become residential was where the mistake was made. So now we have residential people in a business district. Naturally, they're going to complain. My concern about this ordinance is the vagueness of it, exactly like we're trying to discuss here, at the discretion of an officer. Annoys. Clearly, I'm going to annoy them all day, every day, 7 days a week. They're going to call. Police are going to come. Some police will say, no, it's not really a nuisance. Nuisance is subjective. Annoying is subjective. It annoys them. They like to be in bed at 10 o'clock at night. It might not annoy me. I love people. I'm in the hospitality business. I love people. I love noise. I like to see people eating and enjoying themselves. I love to see people laughing, and I love to see children playing. The children playing in my yard annoys them. The children, too many children running around making too much noise. So now we know in advance that the day this is passed, the phone is going to start to ring. Right? We know that. The police are going to come. They're going to call you at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. They got your cell number. They're going to call you at 2 in the morning.
And they walked a mile in my shoes last summer.
Not last summer, the summer before.
Both.
Well, not as bad. I try to control it. And I feel bad for you. But they have to recognize that I am an asset to the community. I caused a lot of people to come here and invest. My building is filled with realtors selling real estate to people in this town saying, we are a viable town. You have a nightlife. You have a sophisticated place to go to and eat and enjoy yourself. It is helping. They use Tommy's as the closing to wanting to buy in real estate. I have 30 employees that rent apartments in Seabright. There are no vacancies. They can't find apartments in Seabright to rent. They have to go to Atlantic Islands. There is no vacancy. I was going to call you and congratulate you that one day we had in February, and the town was beautiful. Cars everywhere. Every restaurant was full. And who would have thought the February after the hurricane that it would look like that? Because you remember that, folks. People weren't even in their houses yet. The police weren't even letting people in. And here in February, we had the town packed. You always say it's always summertime in Seabright. Because of Tommy's, it's always summertime in Seabright now. So now, my concern is the phone is going to ring. Subjective. We're going to annoy them. They're going to call you. The chief is going to send patrolmen. Patrolmen are going to come, and they're going to say, oh, it's not annoying. They're going to call again 10 minutes later. You're going to call the chief and say, chief, my phone is ringing 20 times tonight. Go give Tommy a ticket. Okay, so a ticket, $150 ticket, cost of doing business, I'm okay with it. Four tickets, Tommy is going to prison. Tommy is going to do 90 days community service. Four offenses, and I'm locked up, or I have to do community service. I'm going to get four in 1 week, because you could see that they're relentless. It is going to annoy them. Four people, they have testified at the planning board that four voices, when our staff goes out at the end of the shift and sits at a table and is having a shift drink, they say those four voices echo off of the wall. You know what I mean? It's four voices. It's quiet. It's on the river. The voices echo. You're going to get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. The voices are annoying us. How do you define annoying? You cannot define annoying. How do you define nuisance? You can't define nuisance. It needs to be a meter. It needs to be something scientific that we say that this person is a nuisance. Give me a guideline. I can't just have annoying. Annoying is just not, it's just not strong enough. Let them know where they stand, because he wants to know, do I stand behind my building? No, you could stand on the empty lot. On the empty lot, it's going. Tommy's is getting tickets. And naturally, I'm concerned about it, because my use is approved. I'm in a district that's approved for my use. I'm a restaurant. People sit in it, and they eat, and they talk, and they laugh, and their kids are happy running around. They're in bed by 10 o'clock. Last year, I told them, put on the air conditioning. Shut your doors. Oh, I want to sleep with my windows open. It's 12 weekends a year. You know, I can't help that you want to sleep with your windows open. You're next door to a restaurant. The value of their properties have increased. When they had a run-down gas station, broken-down gas station, and a broken-down building next door to them, they couldn't sell an apartment. They couldn't rent an apartment in that building. All of a sudden, it looks beautiful now. Everyone's coming to Tommy's. Every vacant apartment that goes up for rent, one of my staff is trying to rent. The market value has increased. So I haven't damaged them or diminished the value of their use. I haven't diminished the value of the way they interpret their enjoyment of their property has to be. So where does that leave me? If this is approved, I'm going to prison, right? We need to define the words unnecessary, cause to be made, or which is plainly audible. People talking, laughing. I have a restaurant. I got 60 seats in the back. 60 people talking is a hum, and either annoys, clearly it's going to annoy them, injures, it's not going to injure them, but you can interpret injures any way you want, or endangers the comfort. Okay, they can't sleep. It endangers the comfort. I'm getting a ticket. I'm getting tickets day and night. And maybe it's not just a $100 ticket.
Maybe not.
Well, here's,
how do you define it? They're going to be the complaint, right? Well, we don't need a cop to issue a ticket.
I think the issue is everything that's happening after 10 p.m.
Right.
Yes.
So we're not talking about dinner. We're not talking about when kids are awake.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying, but I think we do need to find a balance, because we're, you know, that I think with, and again, we're talking location specific.
Right.
And the council is trying to craft legislation that applies to everybody. But, like, if my neighbors are fighting next door and yelling at each other at 2 o'clock in the morning, I am certainly able to call the police and, you know, make a complaint about that noise.
But you live in a residential area.
I live in a business zone.
I'm in a business zone, and I'm a business. With 200 occupants.
Well, we're not.
Right.
We're not
I understand this, what you're
this
saying.
This ordinance is not dealing with site specific.
But you understand that everybody in this ordinance is for me. Well, they're clapping for me. There's no one here about Donovan's. There's no one here about even.
Not yet.
There's no one
here. They're not open.
Not yet.
They will
wait till the Manhattan.
Right. Tom's going to look like an old age.
Tom, here's the thing. Here's one of the things. One of the things I stated earlier is primary reason about behind this ordinance.